Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Well, from Live Aid to 12 young soccer players and their coach being rescued from a flooded cave in northern Thailand, loads happening this week in pop culture history. And who better than Rebecca Shackleton, co-presenter of 98FM's Big Breakfast, to take us through all of the stories. How are you?
Hello, happy throwback Thursday.
I know. All good?
All good at me, yes.
Enjoying your summer sunny holidays?
The weather, I can't.
Oh, it's shocking,
I'm just praying
it's
now
shocking,
it takes a turn and we get some sort of heat wave. Yeah. It's been a lot. Non-stop rain, but sure, look, it looks a bit better out there. There now.
Ish. I don't know, it's bleak enough now.
Yes.
Anyway, we're not here to be all doom and gloom. The Office.
Yeah, what a lovely
Does
theme
that,
song.
Yeah. Does it mean a lot to you?
No, it doesn't. I've never actually watched this, but the first episode of The Office aired 23 years ago this week. It debuted on the 9th of July, 2001, and it was really not a big hit straight away, but then it became this cult classic. And I think what really made The Office stand out at the time was that mockumentary style situation. Mm. The camera was all mockumentary style, and it first debuted on BBC Two, created and directed by Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant.
Was never a fan.
No, me either. And people love the American version too, which starred Steve Carell.
Like any, I tend to find that anything that has a major cult following, I stay away from.
It just depends. But the thing about this is I feel like the reference to David Brent, I just miss the reference point when people are like, oh, that person's very like David Brent. I'm like, you smile and nod, but actually I don't have a clue what they're talking
about. Your head.
But
David
Brent was the, he was the boss in a fictional paper supply company called Wernham Hogg.
See, in theory, I think I should like it.
Yeah.
But I just never, I watched it
for
a few times.
But listen, I also assumed that there were going to be so many episodes of The Office. Only two seasons. So 12 episodes,
all?
6 episodes in each season. And then they had 2 Christmas specials as well. So it's kind of wild that only 14 episodes of a show are so quotable and iconic at this point. And I suppose after that, Ricky Gervais just blew up.
Yeah, well, made its mark, obviously, if even after such a short amount of seasons. This is a story I definitely remember and quite recent as well, Rebecca.
Yeah, so we're talking about the Thai cave rescue back in 2018. It was the 9th of July, and divers rescued 12 young soccer players and their coach from a flooded cave in northern Thailand. It was one of those news stories that had the whole world gripped, and they had to really do a very, I suppose it was very intricate rescue of getting those young boys out of that cave.
We were in the newsroom at the time when this story broke, and like, you know, you hear these really kind of, you know, mass tragic incidents that happen. And often, you know, in areas and parts like northern Thailand. But the idea of kind of, you know, 12 young lads, young kids out playing their football at their training, and they go for, but they went for a walk, didn't they, with their coach or something.
A little adventure to have a look, and then it was a monsoon.
And this whole, and then caught in the cave and the whole panic and contacting families and everything. And I remember following it when we were in the newsroom at the time, and, you know, like, I suppose you're instantly, you know, once we got over the first day or two with the search operation, you know, the analysis, I suppose, tended to turn to the worst and people feared the worst. But the whole recovery operation and taking these kids, it was an incredible story.
Yeah, it was. 90 divers involved. It made headlines all over the world, and they were eventually freed after 17 days. 4 were rescued first on the 8th of July, and then the remaining 8, along with their coach, they were rescued over the next 2 days. They've even actually gone on to make a Netflix limited series about this, which is called Thai Cave Rescue, and that premiered back in September 2022.
I must watch that, actually.
Yes, so that's one to watch now. It's a very, I suppose, inspiring, emotional story with a happy ending.
Absolutely.
I don't think anyone expected at the time.
Good news. This is something I know puts a smile on a lot of people's faces. Tech tennis fan?
No, I'm not. I'm sorry. Are you?
No, but I can get on any bandwagon. I mean, there's no bandwagon I wouldn't get on.
The only thing about Wimbledon is that even if you're not a fan of tennis, I feel like it looks like it's a really fun event.
So listen, do you know what? The more I chat to you here on Throwback Thursday, the more I realise, Rebecca, you and I have a hell of a lot in common. I would love the day out part of Wimbledon.
We want the strawberries and cream and maybe Pims. Yeah, exactly.
A few bubbles, Prosecco. I could do a day right in the thick of Wimbledon.
A nice cheap white outfit on centre court. That's a bit of us.
So we were chatting about Wimbledon and what's the fascination with it here on the show. Was it last year or 2 years ago Jess Kelly was with us? Because she went.
Yes.
And she went for work. But I had said after that, you know, I want to go to Wimbledon purely for the day out. Like.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened yet, but I mean, there's still time.
Well, maybe next year for us. But on July 9th, 1877, the inaugural Wimbledon Tennis Championships began, the oldest and most prestigious tennis tournament in the world now. But it was first held on one of the lawns of the All England Croquet Lawn Tennis Club.
Love it.
So yeah, it was first held on a croquet lawn. Not mad.
Yeah, so it's 1877 is when this dates back to. Of course, a lot of focus around Wimbledon this week. 22 amateurs, is that right, with the first championships?
The very first one. So it was 22 amateurs. They paid 11 shillings to enter and they all saw an ad for this competition in a leisure magazine and 200 people watched the final match. Look at it now, all those years later.
I know. Yeah, it's absolutely huge. Like, to be honest, I'd want to go for the celeb spotting as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Anyone who's there. Who on centre court. and also what I didn't realise was the prize fund for Wimbledon, they're competing for a huge amount of money. I thought it was just the glory they got, but no, they get millions.
No, they're into the money as well. Yeah, not just the championships.
£44 million that was the prize money last year split between obviously all the different winners. So I think that the winner of the men's singles and the women's singles, they get $2 million each or over $2 million each.
Incredible.
Yeah, so a lot to play for now. I can see why they're, you know, giving it their all and bunting it up. I do that for $2 million.
Yeah, Rebecca's tennis movements in here at the moment in studio are just pretty phenomenal. I hope we've got that on camera. July 1962, what have you got for us?
Andy Warhol's Campbell's Soup Cans exhibition that opened in LA in July 1962. So you know this picture, it's the 32 individually framed panels.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and each one is a different flavour of Campbell's Soup. Yeah. I quite liked the chicken one back in the day.
Yeah, the mushroom was nice as well.
Yeah. Mm. So people always wondered, I suppose, why did Andy Warhol decide to paint so many cans of soup? Well, he did answer this question and he said that he had the same lunch every day for 20 years. So it was the same thing over and over again.
Now, I don't know if I'd love it that much, but...
No, but I think I'm guilty of that, just having the same meal all the time.
I'm so bad at that.
So Andy Warhol did that too. And I suppose these paintings, they represent the beginning of the pop art movement. And they're currently on display in the Museum of Modern Art in New York, if you're a fan of Andy Warhol and, in fact, soup.
Campbell's soup, if you love a Campbell's soup. That's pretty cool.
What a voice. What a voice. The iconic Freddie Mercury at Queen's performance at Live Aid back in 1985. It's been voted one of the most influential performances of all time and it was 21 minutes in length.
That's that also pretty incredible.
What a set. Absolutely incredible. So there were lots of people performing at Live Aid back in the day. Of course, Bob Geldof organised the whole thing. And Elton John and George Michael singing Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. That was one of those moments as well that still gives me goosebumps, that whole performance.
So it was this week, that Live Aid was broadcast. Is that's the connection?
So it was July 13th, 1985 that Live Aid took place both in London and Philadelphia. It was broadcast on MTV. Yeah. It's syndication 38 years ago.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, 38 years ago. It doesn't seem in my mind like it's that long ago, but...
Yeah.
There you go.
I think it's because we that performance, especially after the Bohemian Rhapsody film coming out too, just the comparison of Rami Malek and Freddie Mercury. Have you ever seen that video of his performance from the movie? It's just, they're literally completely the same. It's incredible.
Incredible.
But Live Aid was watched by 72,000 people at Wembley Stadium and it's estimated that 1.5 billion people across 150 countries watch that on TV.
This was number one in this week 30 years ago. I know.
Bill Whelan's Riverdance was number one in Ireland. It had been performed at the interval act for the Eurovision a couple of months before that. Obviously, Michael Flatley, Gene Butler, it's iconic. We were hosting the Eurovision. They came out in The Point, blew everyone away. Yeah. And then RTE decided to release it as a single.
I'm tapping away here because you know I've learned the steps now to Riverdance.
Have you?
What? Did you not see my video?
No.
I went to the Gaiety there about a month ago for the Dublin tour. It's the course of 30th year as well of Riverdance. So they had their 25th anniversary running, I think, at the Gaiety. And I went over and I got to learn the steps to the iconic dance on the Gaiety stage
and
perform it to Bill Whelan's music.
Well, you're a woman of many talents.
Sure, listen,
and you've
look,
got the moves.
I know you've seen me at the Radio Awards attempt to perform this many times, but it's actually happened on the Gaiety now.
Well, I need to watch that video.
Oh, it's quite a charm.
This is the second best-selling single of all time
in Ireland. Like, I love it. Yeah. It's a real wedding song.
Oh, it is a real wedding song. If that comes on the dance floor, that and Rock the Boat, you know everyone's going to be having a great time. But 18 weeks at number one in Ireland.
Deadly. Rebecca Shackleton, as always, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live. Throwback Thursday. Rebecca, of course, you can catch her, co-presenter of 98FM's Big Breakfast.
Thanks so much.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.